sharing. There's debate because we would compromise some on public service employment if they would do it. And we didn't get anywhere with that. There was a big effort in the House, and we didn't get enough votes. Most were disappointed. And the House voted this public service bill, which was allowed almost deliberately to be bad, anticipating a veto.
Yeah.
Now,
the Senate is better.
The Senate is somewhat better.
Somewhat.
Now, as we have talked about this, public service employment bill right at this time is not the easiest thing in the world to veto. So we have...
When will it get here, the veto?
Oh, I think it'd be sooner than that. The Congress might very well conclude today.
So we might have to...
It might come as... It might be positioned so that the Public Works Bill, which is be on its way down tomorrow, so our 10 days will start running then. So the two would physically be here at the same time. We could do them both together. I think on the Public Works Bill, we're very strongly positioned on a veto on that.
Okay. We're all set.
What we have been trying out is the notion that if the conference will produce the Senate bill with a few touches that give a little special things for veterans, and we can get a commitment from the chairman and the ranking member of the committees and the subcommittees to produce a manpower reform revenue sharing bill by the end of this year. What we've said is, I don't know whether the president will veto it or not, but that would increase the probability that he might not. And now that has moved.
The main thing I would like in the darn bill is just if we could get it as flexibility so we could put the money, whatever damn money we have to spend, in the places we want and under the circumstances we want, and spend it or not spend it, as the case might be. That's it. The public, it's a miserable thing, we all know, but if we have to sign it, because you would agree, we've got to, the more flexibility we can have to play it the way we want, is, I suppose there isn't any such thing.
There's a little. But I don't think there'd be very much, because it would go to units of general government. I think we can establish that, like revenue sharing. But I'm sure they would tie it pretty tightly to a distribution formula, just as all the manpower funds tend to be. Now, it might be that there are always opportunities during the year to reprogram some and move it around a little bit, but there's not a great deal of flexibility there. It's interesting how fast this possible compromise has moved, and they're busily seeing if they can get commitments from these people.
I thought Jared was going to say on the agreement on the public service employment thing. I thought your feeling was that isn't going to allow us to do much about the. Wasn't really going to affect the whole thing of unemployment at all, is it?
It doesn't affect it much. We think that you would... Tenth of a percent or something. It just isn't a way to do anything about unemployment, but it has great visibility.
It's jobs.
We have... Just me, George Shultz, I'm just opposed to it. I don't think it's the right way to go about it. On the other hand, here we are. Well, I don't know. Jerry has very firmly positioned on this.
That we ought to be doing.
That
he's the House bill.
And he's troubled that we might move off of a straight veto position. On the other hand, I think all our discussions around here are that, and reflecting your directions, that boy, we better keep our eye on this employment thing. And, both in the substance and in
and
the way
that we care. That we care. That's what it really gets down to, George. This is a question of what we do. We all know to do the wrong thing. It's a terrible admission that we will have to be forced to because of the House
think that if we can make the chairman, as well as our ranking members, and we are making our public commitments, they will get something that is in the general ballpark that everybody knows about of manpower reform and revenue sharing. The general thrust of that is, well, particulars can be argued about, the thrust of putting the programs together and decentralizing to the states and the cities and just changing the arrangement is well known. And if we have a public commitment from the chairman that they will get us a bill, that I think takes some of the sting out of it. But before letting this thing race along any further, I wanted to check this with you because these people will be going on the line and saying, all right,
Yes, I'm telling you to ignore that call I just gave. Fine. Consider something. I want to see you before he gets away. I was reflecting more about reality, and I thought that perhaps one day next week you might get over the comment that you and Conley and I ought to sit down and have a talk. I think sometimes we've got to separate out people. You know, we can sit there and, you know, get about the whole darn thing, and we get off on 18 different tangents. But you have ideas, Conley has, and I have. Let's have a little talk about how the thing really looks, or, you know. So, you get a hold of Paul and have him be confident. You can't do this next week, Tuesday or Wednesday next week. But this, okay. Where we just, you, just three of us sit down and really talk about the darn thing like you. I get more out, frankly, of a meeting where we have that kind of talk than I do later. Like the time you and, like when you brought in on time here. No, that's good. That's good that he has a mind to do it.
Is he up to that meeting? He's up to that meeting.
The second point is I think, I just don't think that economic experts are very darn sure as to what is happening to you, George. I get a paper virtually every day from the council, like the relations of the housing starts are doing well. Next day, well, this is still a slight issue in personal income. And so it just, it bottles along. Which of course leads you to the conclusion that, I mean, usually leads you to the conclusion, well, if you're not sure, get out and do something. On the other hand, when the options for what you do are so unattractive, maybe it's better to risk the uncertainty.
Well, I have my reasonably firm convictions on this that haven't.
You still feel the same way?
We had a first look at the second quarter GNP figures, and they are disappointing.
They are.
They're above, my own mind, I calibrated it and said if it's below 20, that'll be quite disappointing. If it's in the vicinity of 25 billion increase, well, we can feel darn good about it. Now, their first look is 20.4, so just within these bounds. My guess is that'll be revised upward. The first quarter was revised upward sharply, and I think it's going to be revised upward again before they get through. It's also the case that the income side of this is running ahead of the output side. That is, you can compute product, gross national product, and then sort of the other side of the coin, in a way, is the income that people are receiving. And they don't exactly balance. And the main thing involved is transfer payments, like Social Security payments, that don't produce any output until recipients spend the money. Now, the income side outran the product side in the first quarter by a couple of billion dollars. That's somewhat unusual. This second quarter, it's going to outrun it quite a lot because there is a very large lump sum Social Security payment coming just about now being mailed out as a result of the early Social Security action. And that is sort of money in the bank that will be growing spending. Just because of this increment, the savings rate will look as though it has gone way up. But that's reflecting the moment of time, which happens to come in the middle of June when these large payments arrive. Are all of our indications of consumer sentiment, the surveys plus basically I think the sales, are showing that the consumer is spending, maybe not spending wildly, but is in the market. Businesses, I think, are being extremely cautious. They're not building inventories, and they're not building new plant and equipment. If the sales keep going, they will be forced to build, rebuild their inventories. They have no alternative. They've got to get the stuff in there to sell. And once that process starts, then you get a big lift. So that I still see it as a strong expansion, but there are lots of nervous people around. On the steel thing, we have a, I think we are about ready to bring you back a definite idea about how to get into that. And I'm also preparing for this Camp David meeting kind of a wage cost outlook. I think that we can do a fair amount of forecasting there about what's likely to happen.
Getting back to this GNP figure, when will that be released? What can't, well, the quarter's end of June 30th, is it?
I don't think that'll be released for another month. They sort of get up a preliminary view and they pass it around the government. And then they wait a while.
It's a curious way to operate.
Well,
they always sort of
it's, you know, it's based on about a month and a half worth of figures. And they now have quite a few things in May, mostly having to do with early May. But,
so they're not thinking they're going to have to choose.
It's disappointing to me that it isn't higher. It's sort of within the range of tolerance, but just barely. But I think there are these pulls in the picture, and they're just going to pull awful hard one of these fine days. But nevertheless,
when
the unemployment is there, and and that's a reason why it seems to me I would feel very hesitant in recommending to you that
one
you
of stop the pulls. Once it begins, then it just builds on itself.
It builds very fast. And then you can't turn it off. I mean, once it goes, you can start trying to hold down construction and whatnot, but it's awfully hard to do. Contracts are left.
I like that, I'm sure you
do. Yes, it would be nice.
I would be worried about it before, but I would be a bit worried about it now. Maybe just, maybe just as well if it's coming just a little late. And if it pulls, and it should pull in the third quarter, that's about right. You know, pulling too early, you could pull up, and then we have to be worried too much about the inflationary factors and so forth and so on.
Right. Well,
they're all a bunch of nervous colleagues so far, because they all talk to each other smoothly about the wage price push, and also worry about interest rates and inflation. That's all. None of them seem to be, when I say none, a lot of them must be, my goodness, some people are doing that, but they're just a lot that are not gambling on the future, isn't that it?
Well, they are gambling on the future by not getting the inventories in now. They may lose some sales, and they may pay more for the goods at a later date. So I think they have to gamble either way. A completely different topic. Just I've been wanting to get a chance just to mention this to you. Next week, all works out right, Ed Morgan and I are planning a swing through 5 southern states to talk to our state advisory committees about the impact of the decisions on their state as we see it, and the prospects for this emergency money, which I wish were better. But just to touch base with them and to keep their spirits up and to keep them alive as a committee. So I would be out for a couple of days and
provide some. Getting back to the economic thing, there's nothing really that can be done with regard to private instilling confidences. It just can't be done, George. On the other hand, I think that a lot of people press confidence within administration that they talk too negatively, can't they?
They can overdo it.
The Fed say this, and say that, and so forth. Yet this is an awful big country, and a very diverse country,
interested. I call people once in a while that I know in various parts of the country.
Yeah.
John Connolly was commenting the other day that he had done a little bit of that. Some friend of his who runs
around
the yard, somebody who does this or that, and you just kind of get a feeling from how they talk.
Yeah.
And they talk pretty well on the whole.
Do they? Well, maybe this funny writing figure that will adjust the pub is still better.
I think that's likely. I think that's likely, but I say that on the basis of the sales information. I'm thinking the inventories are going to be that they're underestimating those, and on the basis that practically every figure that's been published this year has been revised upward.
When will they be kind of the final figure in the first quarter?
In July. They go back and they revise the whole year.
Yeah.
And then they'll pretty well finalize the first quarter, although they've revised these figures for years. But
is the summer basically a time of sort of pause and everything, or is it summer chills? Third quarter could be a pretty good quarter. I mean, are there any psychological factors that, apart from this particular year, that generally affect third quarters?
Well, in terms of retail sales, they generally are a little soft in the midsummer, and then towards the end of the summer they pick up, and there's, you know, in clothing and things like that, there are purchases as people go back to school and the fall fashions come in.